नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिनि नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी पुचारिणे विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाचार्य गौरव भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राधे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। We have been discussing from the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is titled as Dhyana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga. In that, Krishna has described the practice of Ashtanga Yoga, and he has also. Just give me a second. Okay, I'm sorry. So, yeah, Krishna had described already the process of bhakti. Sorry, not bhakti, Ashtanga Yoga. And he mentioned about the qualification that is needed to reach the higher stages of Ashtanga Yoga. That's how one has to develop this equal vision of seeing the enemies and friends on the same level, and all of that he describes. And after hearing this whole thing, Arjuna is not very confident that he would be able to practice this path of Ashtanga Yoga. So he says that Yoyam Yoga Svaya Proktaha Samyena Madhusudana Etasyaham na pashyami chanchalatvat stitim stiram. He says that, my dear Krishna, this equal vision that you are talking about, which a practitioner of this yoga is able to practice, is able to see friend and enemy on the same level, which means I am expected to see Yudhishthir Maharaj and Duryodhana on the same level. I think maybe for 2 or 3 days it may be possible. It may be possible. But in the long run, I don't see this is really possible because the mind is very fickle. Chanchalam himanak Krishna pramati balavad dradam. Tasyaham nigraham manye vayo rivasu dushkaram. My dear Krishna, I feel that the mind is very fickle. It is very agitating. It is very strong and firm. I think it is more difficult to control than raging wind. It may be possible to control the raging wind, but it's not possible to control the mind. So therefore, I think it's very difficult. So even though one may say that, the mind is very fickle, or one may say, okay, you control it with the intelligence. The intelligence is supposed to be the controller of the mind. But Arjuna says that, oh, no, it is not possible because the mind is pramati. It's very, very agitating. It will agitate the intellect. So, and it will hijack the intellect. And it is balavat. It is very, very strong. Therefore, it will just like a very strong disease will not respond to a medicine. In the same way, a strong mind will not respond to the discriminating intellect. Like that he says. And moreover, you may sharpen the intelligence with knowledge, but when the mind becomes strong, it becomes like a hard piece of iron. So how much ever you may sharpen the needle of intelligence, the that sharp needle of intelligence will not be able to pierce through a thick block of iron, which is like the mind. So therefore, this Ashtanga Yoga that you are talking about, in which you are talking about this mind control and learning to see equally all these enemies and friends and all that, I think it's very difficult because of the nature of my mind. I think it's very difficult for to do it. Krishna says, asamshayam, no doubt. what you say is right. Asamshayam Mahabaho, O mighty Amdarjuna, no doubt what you say is right. Mano Durnigraham Chalam, it is true that this mind is very, very difficult to control, and it is very, very filled. But Abhyasena tu Kaunteya Vairagyena cha Grihyate, by repeated practice of Ashtanga Yoga and by careful practice of detachment, over a period of time, it is definitely possible. Okay. So that's what he is telling. Then he says, Asamyatatmana yogo dushprapa iti me matihi, vashyatmana tu yadata shakyo avaptum upayataha. So he says that in my opinion, yoga dushprapaha, that yoga is certainly difficult. Asamyatatmana, for one who is unwilling to do this abhyasa and vairagya, one who is unwilling to practice the limbs of Ashtanga Yoga properly, and one who is unwilling to stay away from the objects of sense gratification very diligently, it is not possible to attain this perfection of this yoga. Avaptum shakyaha, but it is certainly possible to attain perfection of this yoga. Vashyatmanatu yatata, one who endeavors to control the mind by this abhyasa and vairagya, by the intense practice of abhyasa and vairagya, it is possible. So he convinces Arjuna that you say it is impossible, but I say it is difficult but possible if proper abhyasa and vairagya is there. And then at this point of time, Arjuna asks this question about, what about a person who is unable to muster that level of abhyasa and vairagya? Because consistent abhyasa, consistent vairagya is difficult. You know, one may start things, but to maintain them consistent is very difficult. So what will happen to a person who starts, who gives up the path of karma to take up to yoga, but then halfway down the line or somewhat down the line, he feels that, oh, it is so difficult to maintain that level of determination and abstinence and vairagya. So he may feel like that. So what is the position of such a person? Arjuna wants to know. Ayati shraddayopeto yoga chalita manasah aprapya yoga samsiddhim kamgatim krishna gacchati. He says that, oh Krishna, kamgatim gacchati, what is the destination of that person, shraddaya upeto, who with proper faith in Ashtanga Yoga, he starts the process, but ayati, but he is not able to put proper abhyasa and proper vairagya. Why? Yoga chalita manasa, because the mind gets distracted. Because of the unsteady mind, he is not able to maintain that constant endeavor and constant detachment. Aprapya yoga samsiddhim, and if he is not able to attain the, in this lifetime, if he is not able to attain the goal of yoga, then what happens to such a person? Kachin nobaya vibrashtas chinnabrami vanashyati apratishto mahabaho vimudo brahmana patihi. So will he be like a riven cloud? You know, when a small piece of cloud detaches from a chunk of cloud, and before it gets connected with the next cloud. So if a strong wind comes, it may disperse. The small cloud may get dispersed. So similarly, this person detached himself from karma and wanted to attach himself to yoga. But because of the strong wind of the urge of the mind, the unable to control the mind from sense gratification, he may not be able to attain perfection of yoga also. So what is the situation of such a person? Kamgatim krishna gatta chinna brahmiva nashyati apratishto mahabaho vimudo brahmana patihi. So will he, will, because he has given up karma, he will not attain swarga also. And because given up yoga, he will not attain the impersonal liberation also. So what will be his position? Will it be like a raven cloud? This was the question Arjuna asked. So Arjuna concludes his question by telling, Etanme samshayam Krishna chetum arhas sasheshatah. Pudanya samshayasyasya cheta nahi upapadyate. Therefore, Krishna, I request you to resolve this doubt, and I think without, instead of, except for you, there is no one who is capable of answering these questions. Krishna answers this question. Partha naiveha namutra vinashastasya vidyate nahi kalyanakrit kaschid durgatim tatagacchati. My dear Arjuna, for a person who has taken up to this auspicious path of yoga, he certainly does not meet with destruction in this life or in the next life. Iha amutra. So, such a person never meets with an unfortunate end. Vapya punya kritam lokan ushitva shashwati samaha shuchi nam shrimatangehe yoga brashto bijayate. So, for a person who has taken up to this path of yoga, if he leaves that practice of yoga after a very short time, and he gives up his body also, then such a person, because he develops some desire for enjoyment, he is not able to give up the desire for enjoyment, he will go to the planet where he can enjoy all his pious credits, and he will enjoy for a long time, and then he will come back and take birth in the house of a religious person or a wealthy person, so that it becomes easier for him to continue his practice of yoga from the left off. On the other hand, atava yoginameva kule bhavati dhimatam etadi durlabhadaram loke janma yadi drisham. Or if he had practiced yoga for a long time and made significant progress, but then gives up his body without achieving success, then he is born in a dhimatam yoginam kule. He is born in a family of intelligent yogis. But such a birth is difficult, because no one generally progresses to such exalted level of yoga. Generally, people, they progress slowly. So this birth is more rare than the birth which was mentioned in the previous verse. Okay. Tatratam buddhi samyogam labate paurvadehikam. So therefore, in this particular birth, he attains a state of his previous birth, along with his faith in Paramatma and the path of yoga. So, and therefore, from there, he strives to complete perfection. Purvabhyasena teneva hriyate hi avashopi saha jigyasurapi yogasya shabda brahmati vartate. And this person, even though initially one is expected to get attracted to the path of karma, but from a very early stage, this person starts getting detached from karma and attached to yoga because of his purvabhyas, because of his prior practice in the previous life. And avashopi saha kriyate, helplessly he gets attracted to the path of yoga. Prayatna jatamanastu yogi samshuddha kilbisha aneka janma samsiddha tato yati paramgatim. So and now this time he is able to put full effort, abhyasa and vairagya, and he is able to practice it nicely, and very soon he comes purified of his faults. But it takes a few births for him to attain perfection. It's not like immediately he attains perfection. Aneka janma samsiddha. After many births, he attains perfection and attains liberation. So in this context, we were discussing last time that this kind of facilitation through birth is not something which Krishna promises for devotees. He may give, he may not give. Birth is one way of facilitation, but birth is not the only way of facilitation. Krishna may facilitate without birth also. So in this context, we were having a discussion last week, and I had sent some reference video, reference Bhagavatam class in which I had spoken on this particular subject matter. Did any one of you get an opportunity to watch that lecture? You can please raise your hands. Did you get an opportunity to watch it? Okay, some of you are answering yes. Some of you have raised your hands. Anyone else? Did you get an opportunity to watch that Bhagavatam class in which I had spoken on this exact subject matter? So, anyways, but in conclusion, in order to summarize whatever we discussed in that particular class, the point is, for devotees, Krishna has certainly promised that that he will give protection. Yoga kshemam vahamyaham. He says, whatever you lack, I will provide. Whatever you have, I will protect it. That promise Krishna gives, but whether he will facilitate it through birth or not is not a very firm promise that Krishna gives, because Krishna's ways are very unpredictable when it comes to devotees. So, at this point of time, before we continue this discussion further, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions that you may have based on what we discussed last week, or based on whatever we have summarized today, or based on whatever you might have heard in that particular Bhagavatam class, if there are any quests, we can take before we continue today's discussion. Okay, there is one hand up and there is a question in the chat box. Okay, there is a question. I'll take the chat box question first. Generally, we hear that this statement that one who becomes a devotee, at least human life is guaranteed in next life. How much is it a valid statement? Oh, this is a 100% valid statement. Yes, human life one has to get, because if he has to continue his practice of bhakti, at least human life is certainly guaranteed. So if due to commission of serious offenses, unless one commits serious offenses and loses all his devotional credits and becomes a non-devotee and then gives up his body, then a human birth may not be guaranteed. But if he remains a devotee, even though he may not be very seriously practicing, but even with very weak faith, if he has been practicing, at least human birth is pakka guaranteed. But beyond that, whether he will take birth in the family of a devotee and all, that kind of guarantee Krishna does not give. Krishna says, I will facilitate your practice in this life. How he will facilitate, Krishna only knows. He may facilitate it through birth in the family of devotees. That may be one of the ways, but that is not the only way. That was the essence of the whole presentation, if you had an opportunity to hear that. Okay. Yes, Keshav Priyamakas.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat pranams, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, in second chapter 240, Neha Abhikramana Shoti Pratyavayana Vidyate Svalpam Abhyasa Dharmasya. In that also, like even a little improvement in this path will give you great result. So Prabhupada explains that even if you do 1% bhakti, you will continue from that 1% and will start from 2%. Like that he is explaining, yeah. Prabhuji. So yes, it's almost the same, no, Prabhuji. This one, like a yogi incompletely, if he leaves, it is also like that.
Yes. Human birth, mm-hmm. Even if one has practiced Ashtanga, or if one has reached the stage of Jnana Yoga, then also, if they give up their body, at least a human body is guaranteed for them also. It's not just for devotees.
Prabhuji, and even any birth, Prabhuji, we get to know like Krishna will give a body according to the desire they had at the time of leaving. So almost everything, like in that previous lifetime, what they desire, and if they have sufficient of, if they deserve, Krishna will give that body. Not Krishna, karma will give that body next life also, no, Prabhuji, for anything like that only, no, Prabhuji, for any living entity.
Yeah, so any living entity, but that does not mean everyone will get human birth. Yeah, that is not guaranteed for everyone.
My question is, like, everyone is continuing their previous desire only, no, that's the point I'm asking.
Yeah, previous deaths, it is not just desire, it is both desire and karma, both. So,
yes,
so because I may desire to become Prime Minister of India, but I may have a karma, I may hardly have a karma to even get a human. So just because I had a desire to become a Prime Minister, I will not necessarily get birth and I will become a Prime Minister. So I have to first have the karma to become a Prime Minister. So it depends on what you desire and what you deserve, both. So karma decides what you deserve and Swabhava decides what you desire, like that.
So Prabhuji, in this, Krishna is telling, even a little goodness you do, you will not get any bad results. Like Kalyana Krithi is mentioning that, no, Prabhuji. So he means that these people are doing something like transcendental. These people are also definitely transcendentalists only, though they may not be pure devotees. So anything on the transcendental path is Kalyana Krithi. It is auspicious. Is it like that, Prabhuji? Krishna wants to insist that.
Yeah. So it depends on how you define auspicious. So, if you define human birth to be auspicious and getting a permanent result, if you embark on a path which gives, an eternal, if you think that is auspicious, if that is your definition of auspicious, then yes, it is auspicious. But if you think Krishna Prema is only auspicious thing, anything, any other goal is inauspicious. If you define like that, kaivalyam narakayate. So then even Sahijya Mukti, which is aspired for by these Jnana Yogis and Ashtanga Yogis, it is literally very inauspicious. So here, the word Kalyana Krit. So the Kalyana is, in one sense, from the perspective of the current mindset of Arjuna. So Arjuna, at that point of time, Arjuna is playing the role of a Kali Yogi coming to the level of a Jnana Yogi, Ashtanga Yogi. So even the liberation is a very auspicious result for him at that point of time. So he says, oh yes, he will, one who has embarked on this auspicious path, he will never meet with loss like that. So this definitions of auspicious and all are all very contextual definitions. So at this stage, because we are not talking in, he has not yet introduced the concept pure devotional service in a very strong way. So therefore here Kalyanakrit means any eternal result is Kalyanakrit. That is how he is defining it here.
And Prabhuji, one final question. Like, this is coming after Krishna has completely explained Ashtanga Yoga. Is it not already like he has completely explained? So, is it that after explaining all these, like Sakama Karma Yoga, Nishkama Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, the complete process, and finally Arjuna is telling it's very difficult. And so Krishna says it's okay. If you try, you can do. And finally, he will land up in six, I mean, maybe in today, you will complete that, Prabhuji, 640, like last shloka, it's bhakti yoga is better. So is it to prove that all these processes are existing, but it's very difficult? Is Arjuna is used for that, Prabhuji?
Well, it is not going to be easy. Many times, that is definitely Arjuna himself. But whether is the only reason? Probably not. Is that the only thing that he wants to show that, this is... But the one, sometimes people say that Prabhu, pure devotional service is very dull. I think, I will better practice some mixed devotional service only. So sometimes people speak like that. So mixed devotional service will also give a transcendental result. Nah? So let us practice mixed devotional service. So here Krishna is telling, you think mixed devotional service is easy? And Arjuna is telling, you see here, he says that, I cannot practice this like this, you know, the mind is, I can control the raging, but I cannot control this mind, like that he says. So, yeah, that is one of the messages probably Krishna wants to give, but whether is that the only message? No. He also wants a message for those who are willing to practice Ashtanga Yoga. He is encouraging them that, yes, yes, you will, but you may find it difficult, but abhyasena tu kaun vairagyena cha grihyate. If you stick to the practice and carefully follow detachment, it is possible for you to attain perfection like that. That also he wants to give.
But Krishna progresses into the next level only, you know, Prabhuji, like...
Krishna progresses, but not everyone may progress.
Hmm.
So, the ability to see that... the ability to see bhakti as being superior to yoga, or even jnana to be superior to karma, all of that needs qualification. Just by quoting Bhagavad Gita, no one is going. You can try it. You will go take your Bhagavad Gita and show, look very clearly, Krishna at the end of 6th chapter, he says, you know, Vinamapi Sarvesham Madhyate Nantaratma, he very clearly says bhakti is superior. Once they have Sukriti, they will not accept it. It will not stick to them. It is not a question of quoting the Shastras. It is a question of adhikar. They have that adhikar, your arguments will make sense to them. When they don't have that adhikar, you can keep quoting as many verses as you want. It will not create an impact.
Okay, Prabhuji. So these mixed devotees you just now mentioned, these people come in this pathway, like Pradhani Bhuta Bhaktas are mixed devotees, no, Prabhuji? So
yeah, Pradhani Bhuta Bhaktas.
Yeah, so they don't have an adhikar to practice pure devotional service. So they will not take up these instruction of Krishna seriously. Is it like that, Prabhuji?
Yeah, they will not even see that this is there is a hierarchy here. They will not very clearly see a hierarchy here. So they will say that, oh, because we have to understand this through the explanations of our acharyas. But they may not try to understand it through those kind of explanations. So Krishna may clearly say, for those who have karma adhikar, for those who have kama karma adhikar, they may think that, oh, Krishna clearly says, hatavap sisi swargam jitvava bokshise mahim. They may think that this is a very clear-cut instruction, that they may see that, oh, this is very clearly given here. And rest of the verses, how they understand, we do not know. Nishtama Karma Yogi will see Karmanyevadikaraste Ma Phalesha Kadachana as, you know, the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Like anywhere you go, you see the Gita Sar or Gita Saram, whatever, you see, you know, Durvar, don't expect result, all these things they say. I mean, this is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. So many people, this is a common understanding everywhere you go, this is the essence of Gita.
Yes, true.
And others may, an Ashtanga Yogi may see Ashtanga Yoga to be superior by quoting those verses, Tapasvibhyo diko yobhi jnani bhyopi matodikaha. Like that, Tasmad Yogi Bhava Arjuna Krishna says. So, depending on adhikar, they will see particular verses to be, you know, superior. So it is not a question of quoting verses and showing. So that line of logic, depending on their adhikar, they will see a different line of logic. They will not understand your line of logic.
Prabhuji, and this mixed devotees, these people who take like Nishkama Karma Yoga, then Jnana Yoga, and they will have a element of bhakti in it. So when this element of bhakti is more, then they are called mixed devotee, Prabhuji. So this mixed devotee terminology can be used for this pathway. Then for pure devotional service pathway, like they are, they see it is purely from for pure devotional service. So can we use that word for a pure devotional pathway also, Prabhuji? Because that is in that pathway, bhakti is the major element, Prabhuji. Where is karma and jnana in that, Prabhuji?
In where? Where is karma and jnana? Where?
In the pure devotional pathway.
There is no karma and jnana.
So that's what Prabhuji, you are explaining all these days. You are explaining us that only in every video, like this is not mixed devotional service. This is not
what we are practicing is not mixed devotional service. Yes.
Yes, Prabhuji. That's why I am asking that, like that that terminology can be used for this pathway only. No, that is for the, that is my question, Prabhuji. For this pathway, this ladder.
Yeah.
The Pradhani Bhuta Bhaktas.
Yeah, these are Guni Bhuta Bhaktas. What Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, these are all Guni Bhuta, where Bhakti is secondary, Karma Jnana Yoga is primary. So Pradhani Bhuta and all, we will start studying from the 7th chapter onwards, 7th, 8th chapters. There will be a lot of description of Pradhani Bhuta. And then Guni Bhuta will be, and then Shuddhati predominantly will be discussed in the 9th chapter. So till now,
also Pradhani Bhuta only, is it, Prabhuji? I thought from 7th itself, pure devotional service is talking.
No. Some verses may be pure devotional service, but mostly it is, lot of it is Pradhani Bhuta. 8th is Yoga Mishra Bhakti. Lot of discussion is about Yoga Mishra Bhakti. Some verses talk about pure devotional service also, but lot of the verses like Chaturvidha Bhajan Temam Jana Sukriti Nojana, those verses and all talk about Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti.
Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. There are some questions in the chat box. We will take those questions. As you mentioned, is it possible to lose devotional credits? Yes, definitely it is possible to lose devotional credits. That is why, one can lose devotional credits because of offenses, especially Vaishnava Parad. That is why, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is compared to the mad elephant offense, Hathi Mata. So therefore, when a mad elephant does when it comes to a field, that uproots the whole thing. So here, the crop that we have is the Bhakti Lata, the creeper of devotional service. So when a mad elephant comes, it uproots. It uproots does not mean cover. Uproots means gone completely. Then you have to again sow the seed and then water it. And then slowly it will come up. So do people lose devotional credits? Yes, devotional credits may get covered due to anarthas. Just like weeds that grow around the seed. It may stunt the growth of the Bhakti Lata, but whatever growth has already happened, it will not stop it. It will not decrease it. That is very clear. But offenses will uproot. It will actually remove, not just cut, but it will remove devotional credits. So it is very much possible. That is why offenses are very much focused in our Vaishnava Siddhanta. Don't commit offenses. Don't commit offenses like that. Okay. Next question. Bharat Maharaj got next body as a deer and not as a human being, although he was elevated in bhakti. Any exception here? Yeah. Sometimes Krishna, this is actually, it is impossible for someone on the level of what is, even regular sadhakas will get a human birth. So what to speak of a personality like Bharat Maharaj, whom it is very clearly mentioned that he had reached the stage of bhava. So such persons to get a non-human birth is impossible actually. But the case of Bharat Maharaj is a special orchestration by the Supreme Lord. Sometimes in very exceptional cases, the Lord may use such exalted devotees to show, to accomplish particular things. So maybe to teach some valuable lessons to sadhakas like that. So like be careful about what you get attached to. So even Bharat Maharaj's attraction to that deer was actually orchestrated by the Lord. Otherwise, for a person like Bharat Maharaj, who had given up everything to get attracted to an ordinary deer, is impossible. So Therefore, this is a very unique case which was personally orchestrated by the Lord, and it is not a general norm. Okay, another question. If one gives up the body after anarthanavritti, do in next birth one will start with nishta? Okay, this is a very interesting question. Okay, I will read the rest of the question also. But then for the Raganuga, Krishna will provide intelligence as Ananya Sintayanto Mam, or has to one's own search for Brajavasis. Okay, so yeah, it is not that if one has already accomplished Anarthanavritti, in their next life, they will take from their mother's womb with a Japmala in their hand. It is not like that. So they may live a normal life for quite some time if their parents are not devotees. So then sometime during their life, they may get that impetus, they may get sadhu sangha. And when they get that sadhu sangha, they will very quickly pass over the stage of anarthanavritti. Extremely fast in comparison to others. You do see people like that. You know, you do see people like that. They seem to come with you, but they just breeze past you. And you can clearly see that, I mean, that if you have the knowledge, you may be able to see that, oh, I thought this person came after me. But the way he is chanting, the way he is applying himself to Krishna consciousness, I mean, wow, we may feel like that. But there is a very good chance that he already practiced and reached a particular level in his previous life. And in this life, he is taking off from there. So it's not that he will take birth, you know, with a Japmala in his hand, you know. So that may not happen. It may happen that it may happen after 5 years, after 10 years, after 15 years, after 20 years, 25 years, it doesn't matter. You know, that is not fixed. Krishna, at some point in his life, he may orchestrate that association of devotees. It may be through the parents in some cases, but it may not necessarily be through the parents. It may be through other association also. That orchestration may take place. Okay. Any other quick discussion points, comments, questions before we move on to today's discussion? Okay. If there's none, then we will continue our discussion. Okay. So, after giving this confidence to Arjuna that don't worry, Arjuna, abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. If proper abhyas and vairagya is there, even by practice of Ashtanga Yoga, you can attain perfection, and this will be orchestrated by through birth in a favorable family. And when once you take birth in that family, then very quickly you will get attracted to the path of yoga, and you will continue your abhyas, and this time you will have your abhyas will be very strong, your vairagya will be very strong, and you will practice very nicely, and after a few lifetimes you will attain perfection. This is what Krishna says here to Arjuna. So therefore, concluding about Ashtanga Yoga, he says in this particular verse, tapasvibhyodiko yogi jnanibhyopi matodikaha karmibhyaschadiko yogi tasmad yogi bhavarjuna. So he says, oh no, just give me a second. ओके आई शेयर द स्क्रीन जस्ट गिव मी अ सेकंड. ओके सो आफ्टर डिस्कसिंग अबाउट अष्टांग योगा ही फाइनली एज द कंक्लूडिंग वर्स कृष्णा टेल्स हियर टू अर्जुना दैट तपस्विभ्योदिको योगी ज्ञानिभ्योपि मतोदिकः कर्मिभ्यश्चाधिको योगी तस्माद्भिः भवार्जुन. सो ही सेज मतः इन माय ओपिनियन अर्जुन तपस्विभ्यो अधिकः योगी द योगी इज बेटर देन अ तपस्वी ज्ञानिभ्योपि मतोदिकः ही इज इन माय ओपिनियन बेटर देन अ ज्ञानी आल्सो कर्मिभ्यश्चाधिको योगी ही इज डेफिनेटली बेटर देन अ कर्मयोगी तस्माद् योगी भव अर्जुन therefore you be a योगी अर्जुन. सो विच मीन्स क्लियरली ही इज टेलिंग अर्जुन दट एट दिस पॉइंट ऑफ टाइम यू हैव क्वालिफिकेशन फॉर योगा सो यू शुड कंसिडर योगा एज बेटर देन कर्म ज्ञान तपस्या एंड ऑल दीस थिंग्स. सो शीला कृष्णा चक्र ठाकुर कमेंटिंग ऑन दिस ही सेज among those practicing karma jnana tapasya and yoga who is the best he says it is my opinion that the yogi who is the worshipper of paramatma note however many end up merging in the impersonal brahman as stated in verse 15 okay so the yogi is better than the performers of austerities such as the difficult chandrayana vrata. What is the Chandrayana Vrata? This is a fast in which every day food is decreased by a mouthful during the Hare Krishna. I'm sorry, I think I had some internet issues. Now it seems to be fixed. So I was just telling, I don't know how long you missed. I'm not very sure about it. So here it says that a yogi is certainly better than the tapasvi. A yogi is certainly better than the jnani. So if he is better than the jnani, it goes without saying that he is better than a karma yogi also. So therefore, O Arjuna, if you have a choice between practicing tapasya, karma, yoga and jnana, you choose to perform yoga. If you have the qualification, of course. Right? So tasmad yogi bhava arjuna, that is what Krishna is telling here. Any quick discussion points? This is the last verse, not of this chapter. This is not the last verse of this chapter, but this is the last verse describing ashtanga yoga. because the next verse is going to introduce us to the next six chapters, which is going to speak primarily about bhakti and sometimes exclusively about bhakti. So 7th chapter to 12th chapter is going to talk about pradhani bhuta bhakti and guni and shuddha bhakti. So the first six chapters talk primarily about guni bhuta bhakti. Guni bhuta bhakti means where bhakti is secondary, gauna, but karma jnana yoga are primary. So that is over. So nishkama karma yoga was discussed in the third term and fourth chapter. In fifth chapter, jnana yoga was discussed. In the sixth chapter, ashtanga yoga was discussed. So karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga are the three types of guni bhuta bhakti, where bhakti is gauna or secondary. Now the 7th chapter to 12th chapter will talk about pradhani bhuta and shuddha bhakti, predominant bhakti and pure bhakti. So the next verse is going to introduce us to the concept of bhakti. So 6.47 is a very important verse. It's going to introduce us to the concept of bhakti in a very serious way. Even though here and there Krishna has spoken about bhakti in the first six chapters, but Krishna is going to speak about bhakti in a very serious way in the last verse of sixth chapter now. But before that, if there are any quick discussion points, comments or questions, we will take. Yes, Keshav Priyama.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Adhaji, again your internet is poor.
Prabhuji, till now this stage, like only the vidya potency of Mahamaya. Oh my gosh.
No. Now we are able to hear. You can speak.
Yeah, Prabhuji. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Prabhuji, till this stage, as you discussed in the morning Bhagavatam session, also we are explaining about Mahamaya's three potencies now, Prabhuji, Pradhana, Vidya, and Avidya. So till this Jnana Yogis, they are in this Vidya potency of Mahamaya only acting. You are explaining in fifth chapter, also we are explaining that, Prabhuji. So
right.
Yoga Maya never interferes in this stage. Is it so, Prabhuji, you are telling like that only for pure devotional service, yoga maya will interfere. So
yeah.
Now this till this stage, it is Mahamaya's vidya potency is helping and Paramatma realization is helping them. Only these two, is it Prabhuji? So
yeah,
now
yeah.
What we are going to talk, 7th to 12th, is it Yoga Maya coming in? Like, is there interference there, Prabhuji, or is it, how to understand that, Prabhuji?
Wherever pure devotional service is discussed, there it is the influence of Yoga Maya is there. But wherever it is a mixed devotional service, it is still under the influence of Mahamaya only.
Prabhuji, then the Paramatma role, only with the help of the Paramatma realization, they'll be able to go even to the Brahma Jyoti. You were explaining like that, Prabhuji. Like finally, they will leave even this Jnana and all this everything, and they will take only Bhakti and go. So even at that time, what type, like what is that energy of Krishna, Prabhuji? Like Paramatma realization, what is that energy? That is also Swarupa Shakti only, no, Prabhuji? Like how to understand?
It is not Swarup Shakti. No.
Then
it is
what
not
is
Swarup
that, Prabhuji? Paramatma helping means what Shakti is that, Prabhuji?
It is still the Vidya potency of Mahamaya.
Oh. So totally till now, it's only Vidya potency. Only when pure devotional service is discussed, Yoga Maya's interference is there.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay. If there are no further discussion points or questions, then we will move on to the last verse of the sixth chapter, which is a very foundational verse which is going to introduce us to the next six chapters, which is primarily going to speak about bhakti. So, you all know this verse many times. It is often quoted by our acharyas. So we will read this verse. Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yo mam same yuktatam matah me matah. But I consider, Krishna says, yaha shraddhavan mam bhajate, he who worships me with faith, madgatena antaratmana, his mind attached to me, yoginam api sarvesham yuktatama, he is understood to be greater than all types of yogis. Okay. So, here he does not directly say bhakti, but he uses the word bhajate. Okay. Bhajate, mam bhajate. But madgatena antaratmana, he says, his mind is attached to me. Okay. So, generally, the mind of a practitioner is generally attached to the goal and not the means. So, these Ashtanga yogis, Jnana yogis, they are all mokshayan. Their mind is fixed in the goal of moksha. Whereas, devotees are called as Vasudeva Parayana, Narayana Parayana, Matpara, Madgatena Antaratmana, because their mind is not fixed on an extraneous goal like Swarga or Moksha like that, but it is fixed on Krishna. So Madgatena Antaratmana means actually Anyabhilashita Shunyam. So Madgatena Antaratmana means Anyabhilashita Shunyam, because whatever Abhilasha you have, your mind will be obsessed with that Abhilasha only. Because here they say Antaratmana, here Antaratmana means Madgatena Antaratmana means their mind is attached only to Krishna, means they have no other Abhilasha other than the lotus feet of Krishna. So this indicates Anyabhilashita Shunyam. And Shraddhavan Mam Bhajate indicates also he has faith only in the path of bhajan or bhakti, which means it is jnana karmadi anavritam. Same yukta tomomata, person is the greatest of all types of yogis. Yoginam api sarvesham yukta tama. So, therefore, this verse sort of introduces us to this anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam. Anukulyena Krishnana Shilanam. Shraddhavan Mam Bhajate Madgatena Antaratmana. So Madgatena Antaratmana means their mind is fixed only on Krishna, means they have no other Abhilasha other than the desire to please Krishna. Anya Abhilashita Shunyam. That is the meaning. Okay. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur commenting on this, he says, then is there no one who is better than a yogi? Because in the previous verse he says tapasvibhyo adiko yogi gyanibhyo pi matodikah karmibhyascha adiko yogi tasmad yogi bhavarjuna. So it seemed like a very conclusive statement that Krishna gave towards the end of the chapter, towards the previous verse. So here he says, so does it mean that there is no one greater than the yogi? So now he says, no, that cannot be said. In this verse, the possessive case of yoginam stands for the ablative, as in the previous verse, as it is more suitable to the context. So, anyways, my English grammar itself is very poor, Sanskrit grammar, please don't ask me. But he is going to explain this now. So he says, he who worships me with faith is greater than all the yogis. who are greater than the jnanis, tapasvis and karmis. Okay. So, Krishna. Yeah, just give me a second. This is creating a lot of trouble for me. I apologize for the... Once I go back to Chennai, I will try to fix my laptop. Till then, please bear with me. I thought there was 6th chapter also. Krishna, 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 Krishna. So, yeah. Okay. So, I will start with the commentary again. So, he says, so does it mean that there is no one better than the yogi? So, he says, no. That cannot be said. He who worships me with faith is greater than all the yogis who are greater than the jnanis, tapasvis and karmis. The devotee is not just superior to one type of yogi, but is superior to all types of perfected yogis also. Those in pragyata samadhi and those in asampragyata samadhi. So if you remember earlier, he spoke about sampragyata samadhi as I think Nirbija Samadhi and Asampragyat Samadhi as Sabija Samadhi, where meditating on form and formless like that. So both kinds of, he's superior to both types of yogis. So yoginam api sarvesham. So our another meaning of yoginam api sarvesham is that he says, among all the processes of yoga, such as karma yoga, jnana yoga, tapa yoga, ashtanga yoga, and bhakti yoga, he who worships me, who is my dear devotee, has the best process. Amongst all the yogis, he has the best process. Okay. So the karmis, tapasvis, and jnanis are considered yogis. The ashtanga yogi is a better yogi or a yoga tara. But he who practices bhakti with hearing and chanting, however, is the best yogi or yogatama. Yogi, he is practicing yoga, yogatara, yogatama. So, karma yogi, karma, tapasvi, karma yoga, jnana yoga, tapasya and all these things is yoga. Ashtanga yoga is yogatara. Krishna. Oh, I was speaking all the while. You no one told me that you are not able to hear me. I'm sorry. So actually, I'm sorry. I mean, I was muted and I was speaking. I was marking on the board on the slide, but no one messaged me that you are not able to hear my voice and that I am muted. I'm sorry. So, anyways, he says he who practices bhakti with hearing and chanting, however, is the best. Hare Krishna, I think I have some serious internet issues. I think we will pause here. I will try to fix it. I apologize. Are you able to hear me? Is my voice audible? Okay. So I think I am again and again dropping out. I have some internet issues. I will have to fix it. So, you know, I don't like doing this again and again, you know. This is the fourth or fifth time we are just I'm just dropping out. So what I'll do is we will pause here and we will continue this discussion. Of course, next week I'll be traveling. So next Friday we will not be able to have our Bhagavad Gita discussion. But from the week after that, without fail, at least for the next 1 or 2 months, I think I don't foresee any Friday cancellations. So, but next Friday, we will not have the session. But the Friday after that, we will continue and complete this verse. Otherwise, with this kind of a again and again fluctuation, it is very difficult to continue like this. You know, it becomes very, very difficult. So, I apologize. We will pause here and continue next week. In the meantime, I'll try to fix the internet. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai. Srimad Bhagavata ki jai. Hare Krishna.